Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to Little Hill's midweek meeting. If you're not from Little Hill Church and you're watching this evening, then you may be coming in the middle of our series and not heard the rest. Then if you want to hear the other parts of the series we're going through on what is a Christian, go onto our website, littlehill.org.uk, and you can catch up. We've been looking in the scriptures, in the Bible, to see what it says about a Christian. What is a Christian? And we've seen some very encouraging things. A Christian is a son. We can say we're a son or daughter of the living God. A Christian is a friend of God. What a thing that is. We've also seen some challenging things, that we have work to do as Christians. A Christian is a soldier, a servant, an ambassador. And this evening we're going to look at the subject, what is a Christian? A Christian is a believer. Now you might think that's a fairly basic thing to say, and wonder why we're looking at that this evening, because isn't it obvious a Christian is a believer in God? Well, yes, that's true. But don't you find often that if you're asked to define some simple things you're meant to believe as a Christian, you might scratch your head? And it's good to go back and revise these things to understand more fully what it is to be a believer. So we're going to do that this evening. Because 80 times in the New Testament, Christians are referred to as those who believe. So it's important we understand what that means, to believe. In fact, we're going to look at a gospel in a moment that mentions that phrase, to believe, 99 times. That's John's gospel. The other gospel writers mentioned it only 9 or 10 times. Not that they don't consider it important, but John in particular emphasizes belief, because the whole purpose of John's gospel is that people should become believers. It's a kind of evangelistic tract, a gospel tract, if you like. So let's read from John's gospel, and we'll read John 20, verse 19 to 31, where a skeptic, an unbeliever, so-called doubting Thomas, becomes a believer. John 20, verse 19 to 31. On the evening of that day, that's the day Jesus was raised from the dead, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of anyone, they are forgiven. If you withhold forgiveness from anyone, it is withheld." Now, Thomas, one of the 12, called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see in his hands the mark of the nails, and place my finger into the mark of the nails, and place my hand into his side, I will never believe." 8 days later, his disciples were inside again, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands, and put out your hand and place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. So then, what is a Christian? A believer. We're going to look at three things concerning this. One, a believer is someone who knows. A believer is someone who knows. Now, that doesn't mean a believer knows everything. That's not the case, but a believer certainly knows some things, foundational facts have to be known if you're a Christian. In other words, faith is not just a personal subjective choice of a kind of personality who's stubbornly optimistic, even despite the facts, you know, you're just a person who has faith. It's not that at all. A Christian is someone who believes certain foundational facts to be true. And this involves, of course, the mind. A Christian or Christianity is a reasonable faith. It's a rational thing to be a Christian. Just listen to the Apostle Paul, Romans 10, verse 14. He says, "How are they to believe in him of whom they have not heard?" We have to have heard certain facts about him, about Jesus Christ, and to accept and assent to them, believe in them. And the Bible gives us these facts. It gives us, for example, four gospel accounts of the life of Jesus, eyewitness accounts of his life, death, and resurrection. And sometimes it gives that eyewitness history in a short summary. Let me give you one of the short summaries from the scriptures. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 3 to 4, Paul is speaking about the resurrection of Christ and our resurrection, and he says this: "For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the scriptures." Paul is saying these things are written down for us and we must believe them. These facts must be known and believed to be true. Now, Thomas had the facts, didn't he? Thomas certainly had the facts. He'd seen the Lord Jesus Christ alive. He'd seen him die. He'd seen him buried. And now, a week later than the other disciples, he'd seen him raised, the risen Christ. In other words, his faith and belief finally was based on solid historical evidence that he'd seen with his own eyes. It wasn't a leap in the dark. It wasn't what Dan Brown of that book of his that was so popular a few years back, The Da Vinci Code, that fiction of his. It's not what Dan Brown says that faith is. His hero in that book says this: "Every faith in the world is based on fabrication. That is the definition of faith. Acceptance of that which we imagine to be true, that which we cannot prove." Now, biblical facts are based on, biblical faith is based on a high level of human testimony. Eyewitness after eyewitness is brought into the courtroom, as it were. Someone might say, well, what about those miraculous happenings, those supernatural things that the Bible records for us? Isn't it irrational to believe in those things? Listen to what J.C. Ryle, the first bishop of Liverpool, says about that. "Things above our reason we must expect to find in a religion that comes from God, but not things contrary to reason, against reason." What's he saying? What kind of religion would it be that had a God that couldn't do things that only we can do? What sort of religion is it that has a God that can't do supernatural, miraculous things? We must expect to find those things in the Bible, in the God of the Bible, but not things that are against reason, that don't make sense. It makes absolute sense that God can do supernatural things if he is God. And also consider this: we live our lives taking many things on trust. We live lives of faith. Everybody does. We couldn't possibly live otherwise. We take the testimony, the witness of others to be true. Just take history for one thing. There's no way we can believe anything in history unless we take it on trust. We don't have a time machine to go back and fact check everything before we believe it to be true. We have to take witness evidence as truth. And then there are things in life that we take for granted, aren't they, on the basis of what other people told us, first of all. For example, about electricity. You know, I don't have to prove to you or show I understand how electricity works to make a piece of toast. if I want to have that in the morning. I don't have to understand how my toaster works. I took it on trust when I first used it, and now I've proved it to be true. I can give witness myself and testify to it. And that's the same with the faith in God. We take the testimony of Scripture, what others have recorded for us, witness after witness, as truth. But then we believe, and we taste and see that the Lord is good, as the Scriptures put it. And then we can testify to the truth of these things ourselves. Jesus, in his post-resurrection appearances, tells off the apostles, all of them, for being so slow to believe in his resurrection. It's not just poor Thomas who is the doubting one. These other apostles only believed in the same way as he did. Just a week earlier, they had the same evidence that he had that finally convinced him. But now for us, believing is to be without seeing, and God commends this. On the basis of witness evidence, we trust what is recorded. Verse 29, Jesus says, "Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Now we have to be careful here. Saving faith, though it depends on facts, foundational facts, is not just a case of box ticking assent to a creed. Yes, I believe that fact that's in the Bible. Yes, tick, I believe that, and so on and so on. It's far more than that. That, the Bible says, is merely the faith of devils. Devils know that God is real. Devils saw Jesus alive and dead and resurrected. James 2 verse 19 says, "You believe that God is one, you do well. Even the demons believe and shudder." In other words, they know the facts of the faith, as it were, but they don't trust in God. They don't follow God. They don't believe and commit themselves to following God. They oppose God. They shudder and are his enemies. So first of all, true belief does involve the mind, knowing and believing certain facts to be true. But it's much more than that. It's much, much more than that. It involves the heart, the affections, and we might say our very soul. It involves the whole of our being. So now we're thinking of belief, believing in terms of something else. Not just knowledge, but trust. So firstly, a believer is someone who knows, but secondly, a believer is someone who trusts. We're now moving beyond the mere facts that we believe are true about Jesus. We're moving into trusting in his person, the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now notice, this isn't just trusting in him as a trustworthy person who said trustworthy things. This is about entrusting our whole self personally to him as our Lord and our God. It means throwing ourselves upon him and his mercy as the only one who can save us. There's something in this of the lock, stock and barrel of giving ourselves wholly to him, being sold up to him and loving him with all our heart, soul, strength and mind. That's what saving faith, trust is. Notice it here with Thomas. What does he say? Verse 28 of John 20. He says, once he's seen the risen Lord Jesus, "My Lord and my God." See, this acknowledgement of Thomas's goes beyond believing certain facts are true about the life of Christ. He is submitting himself personally in humble, worshipful way to the Lord Jesus as his God. There's a difference, isn't there, between this mere intellectual belief, that of devils, we might say, which doesn't save, and real trust that's required for saving faith. Charles Blondin was a 19th century French tightrope walker. You may have heard of him. You might have heard this story. And he was famous for crossing the Niagara Gorge above the Niagara Falls on a tightrope. And he would wheel a wheelbarrow across it. And he would ask the bystanders before he did so, "Do you believe I can do it?" And people would all say, "Yes." That's intellectual faith, you see. But then he challenged somebody to get in the wheelbarrow and prove they believed he could do it. And very few did. Not sure I would. See, real trust entails giving ourselves wholly to Christ, entrusting ourselves to him. We might say with reverence, getting into the wheelbarrow with him. entrusting our life to him for eternity. And it's deeply personal. It's not just becoming a member of a church, corporate body of people. It's belonging to him, coming to him personally, like Thomas, and saying, my Lord and my God, trust. His lordship is mentioned. My Lord, we want him to rule under us. We're glad to come under his rule and submit to him. And that involves repentance. Repentance always comes with true saving faith. Turning from anything, everything, past sins, trust in ourselves, the sin that offends this holy person who's loved us so much as to give himself for us. Repenting, turning from it to him and giving ourselves wholly to him. This is what Paul says, Philippians 3 verse 8, isn't it? I count everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. Same as Thomas, my Lord and my God. So a believer is someone in a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, trusting in him alone as our only hope. He becomes our life. We become obsessed, in a sense, with him, absorbed by him. As Paul says, for me to live is Christ. We realize there's no hope anywhere else. That only his death deals with our sin. That only his risen life gives us eternal life. And so we love him and we cling to him and we rejoice in him and long to be with him one day. That's what Peter says in his letter, 1 Peter 1 verse 8 and 9. Though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not see him now, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. So a believer is someone who knows both the mind and facts. A believer is someone who trusts, entrusts themselves wholly to Christ. And thirdly and finally, a believer is someone who works. A believer is someone who works. And this involves the will and the body, doing things for God. Now, we go into action. We're not an actor, someone just putting on a role, but someone who goes into action, who works, not to earn their salvation. That's the wrong way around. This is someone who's already believed. But we go into action because we want to please this God by serving him in gratitude, serving the Lord Jesus for saving us. The theologian J.I. Packer says, faith doesn't throw a halo over idleness. Work is the only real sign of a changed life. If somebody says to you, I'm a Christian, but there's no evidence in their life and changed behavior, then doubt them. Jesus said, by their fruit, you shall know them. The fruit of their life shown in their living. Remember again what James says, James 2, 14 to 26. What good is it, brothers, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can that faith save him? Faith by itself, verse 17, if it does not have works, is dead, says James. And again, that other verse about demons. You believe that God is one, you do well. Even the demons believe and shudder. See, our faith must be accompanied by works. And it's a daily life of faith. A faith that is being exercised every day and is therefore growing stronger and developing, not just a flash in the pan. True faith is sustained in the life of a believer. It's a daily faith that grows, and it's a persevering faith, willing to face opposition. Jim Packer again, the life of faith is not lived on beds of ease, but on battlefields. Ephesians 6, 16, in all circumstances take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. See, it's troubling to me, maybe to you also, when people say, yes, I'm a believer, but I don't read my Bible. Yes, I'm a believer, but I don't pray very much. Yes, I'm a believer, but I don't really need to come to church. Yes, I'm a believer, but they're not involved in the life of the church. There's no service. They're willing to be served, but not serving. A Christian is a wholehearted person who gives themselves to God and wants to serve him in everything, every aspect of their lives. That's true faith, worked out in living. And then this faith can see into the future as well. This faith is a robust thing. It has hope. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. So this faith is looking forward. Do you have it? Are you a believer? If not, ask for faith. Faith is a gift of God. Ephesians 2 verse 8, for by grace you've been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God. Respond, if you're not a believer, to the words of Thomas. Be like him, say, my Lord and my God, and submit to Christ. Entrust yourself to him. That's why John wrote his gospel, John 20, 30-31. Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. A believer is someone who trusts. A believer is someone who trusts. A believer is someone who acts. Let's live out this life of faith to the glory of God. Amen. Well, I'll see you folks from Little Hill Church in a few moments at our prayer meeting. And for the rest, goodbye for now. Come next week and you'll hear the next in the series, What is a Christian? A Christian is a brother. We look forward to that.